The following program is being brought to you on the World Talk Radio Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit worldtalkradio.com. The World Talk Radio Network, where the world comes to talk. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the World Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show. I'm glad you're tuning in today. This show is dedicated to the memory of Dr. Daniel Brookoff, a pain management physician who died on April 13th. He was going to be my guest on April 7th. Our heart goes out to his family and all those who loved him dearly. If you'd like to make a donation in his memory to the ICA, go to my show page, click on Guests, then his name, and it will tell you what to do. Today's broadcast is sponsored by Beyond Basics Physical Therapy and Herman and Wallace Pelvic Rehabilitation Institute. Thank you to both of those companies. Besides listening to this broadcast, what are you doing right now? I bet you're sitting down, either at your computer or listening to your MP3 player, and I'll bet you have your legs crossed. Because that's usually what I do. Is your job involving sitting all day at the computer screen? Well, if you've got pelvic pain like I do, sitting can make it worse due to lack of circulation. Psychotherapists, which is what I am, have problems because we sit too long and forget to get up regularly. One study found male therapists were more prone to have prostate problems. When I went for physical therapy in the past for pelvic pain, I was instructed to get up and move around at least once every hour. In Europe, workers are encouraged to take a break and go outdoors to get fresh air. They even take a month off in the summer for vacation. Don't you wish we could do that? I went to Italy in 2004, and there the shopkeepers close their businesses in the afternoon, and they walk home for a leisurely lunch, a nap, and they come back. They say at 4, but it's really when they're ready. Don't you wish we could relax that well? Well, we need to learn how to relax our pelvic region, not just other parts of our body. Pelvic disorders are not just something that women suffer from. Men can too, and there's many causes for it. For me, it feels like a toothache in my pelvic region. For many, sexual relations are painful, and today's program may cover some very explicit information, so young children may not be appropriate to listen to this program. If you've just had a baby and you're having back pain, or you've been diagnosed with prostatitis or fibromyalgia, this program is for you. Remember, you can download it to your iTunes or MP3 player, listen to it, share it with your friends. Today, my guest is physical therapist Amy Stein. She's an author, a founder, and practitioner of Beyond Basics Physical Therapy. And she's going to tell us how to treat pelvic pain through physical therapy without having to resort to the heavy medications that many of us have had to rely on. But before you do anything she recommends, be sure you check with your physician to make sure that your body can handle the exercises. She wrote a book called Heal Pelvic Pain. I've read it. I checked it out with my pelvic pain doctor. He said, I can start the exercises. So I did this morning. So keep listening, and I'll tell you about my improvements. So, welcome, Amy.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here, and this is a topic that really needs to be talked about more internationally as well as nationally.
And that's good because our program is global, so right. You're going to reach around the world and back. So that's good.
That's wonderful. This morning, so, I actually was with a colleague who spoke at Beth Israel Medical Center in front of a bunch of physicians on hip pain and its relationship to pelvic pain, and they were very receptive, and it was wonderful to be there and to have my colleague present the current research on it. So that's what I am here to talk about today.
Wonderful. So how did you get interested in becoming a physical therapist?
I definitely had many interests, MD being one of them, a doctor being one of them, but I really liked the fact that a physical therapist could do one-on-one personalized treatment for a prolonged period of time, whereas a physician may only see a patient once a year or a couple times a year. A physical therapist is with their patient from start to finish and really helps guide them in home program as well. So I like that personalized touch, and that is why I became a physical therapist.
Okay. Well, that's good.
And I like
helping people as well.
That's a huge, huge part of what why I do what I do.
Well, I'm glad that you do it and that you can share it with us. And we're going to talk specifically about pelvic pain and the pelvic floor and the muscles and all that. So can you describe audibly to our listening audience, what are pelvic floor muscles?
The pelvic floor muscles attach from your pubic bone, which is the front of your pelvic bone, all the way back to your tailbone and to your sits bones area. It basically is supportive in function. It supports the internal organs and also helps with stability. The muscles also assist in bowel, bladder, and sexual function, which is why it becomes so confusing and so difficult to diagnose. So you really have to look at the body as a whole to figure out what is going on when there is a dysfunction because of all the roles that it plays in the body.
Mm-hmm. And you diagnose a problem how? How do you determine that it is the pelvic floor problem?
As a physical therapist, we are experts in the musculoskeletal system, so we learn how to assess the pelvic floor muscles themselves. So we will take a patient in for an evaluation. We will look at a lot of external muscles, but we also will look at the internal pelvic floor muscles, which can be assessed vaginally or rectally in women and in men rectally. And we do assess the tightness of the muscles, the tone, if there's spasm of the muscle. And these muscles also surround the bladder, bowel, and genital organs. So what I was saying before about one of the functions is that they assist in bladder, bowel, and sexual function because of where they are located and how they surround and help support those organs.
Okay, and is it different in how they are, I'm trying to think of the proper word, how they are set up in the body as a male, as compared to a woman? Are they different in how they're structured?
The muscles are actually the same. Obviously, there is a difference in the genital region, but
right.
The muscles itself are actually the same, and they do very similar functions. So men have pelvic floor dysfunction as well. Our practice sees about 30-35% men. We actually also treat children for bladder and bowel dysfunction, more from retention or weakness where they have leaking when they shouldn't be at a certain age. So we got involved in that by a pediatric urologist found us that we did pelvic floor dysfunction and biofeedback. And he sent a patient here years ago, and ever since we've realized that the children need to be educated on their pelvic floor and learn the function of the pelvic floor. So it's definitely, it can affect a broad range of people.
Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about children, would that be like a child that has a bedwetting problem? That might be something that could be helped?
Yep, bedwetting. They also, in our practice, they present with retention, meaning constipation, where they are tightening the muscles instead of relaxing the muscles when they go to the bathroom, which is what we should do normally, we should relax the muscles, they actually are tightening the muscles, whether it's an incoordination problem or they had a painful bowel movement in the past or they just have difficulty controlling the muscles. That it can start as early as childhood, and we see some of our adults, if we question them from way back in their childhood, they may mention, I do recall when I was younger, when I was a kid, that I was always going to the bathroom or that I had severe constipation, and now that has persisted through my adulthood.
Mm-hmm. And being a psychotherapist, I always look at the emotional connection to a physical situation, so I am hoping that people who have the emotional connection, you would have a proper referral for that as well.
We 100% do. We tell our patients that we can help the physical component of pelvic floor dysfunction, but that the emotional component is where we refer to the mental health care providers. That is not our specialty, and we end up asking almost all of our patients whether they are seeing someone or have seen someone, because there's a whole vicious cycle, especially with the pelvic pain patients. It becomes debilitating. They feel a sense of hopelessness, a sense of fear that they're not going to get better. And we can help the physical part of it, the pain resulting from the muscle spasms and the nerve pain that they may be experiencing. But if anxiety is a part of it, that needs to be addressed as well. If there's a history of abuse or trauma, that needs to be addressed as well. So we will refer out for that. It's very important to take a holistic approach with this difficult diagnosis and treatment.
I agree. And what I explain to my patients who have gone through the trauma, who it's affected them physically, I tell them that your mind remembers what initially happened to you, and your body will respond as if it's the first time happening all over again every time something triggers you to remember that. And so even though you might work on the physical component, if you don't take care of the emotional component as well, the holistic approach, then they might know what to do, but their body will go back to the old way. So
I fully agree. So we can address the physical part, and we give them relaxation techniques and relaxation training to a limit. If there's a patient that we only do so much with the relaxation part of it, and if a patient isn't responding to our treatment, we do refer out for relaxation training, possibly, if that's what they need, or what you mentioned before, if there's a history, if they keep going to an activity and it triggers their physical pain, yes, we can keep working on the physical pain, but if they don't address the emotional component, they're going to keep coming back to us, and we're going to eventually have to say, until you address the emotional component, we can keep treating you. We can't keep billing your insurance, but we can keep treating you as long as you want. But we don't, in certain situations, we find that it definitely 100% needs to be addressed from both angles. Sometimes it is more of a physical issue, but a lot of times it is both. Or it starts as a physical issue as well, and then they become so anxious by it, and they've been to 7, 8, 9 doctors, and they're not sure what the problem is, and that causes an emotional issue. So it becomes a vicious cycle, and it's important to break each part of the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Or address each part of the cycle.
Mm-hmm. I know that, especially for interstitial cystitis patients, they've been so long taught that, well, we can't see what's wrong with you, therefore it must be in your head. And so by the time they get to you, there's that major emotional component as well as the physical. So when we come back from the break, we're going to actually describe by definition what is pelvic pain and what are the causes. So let's go to break.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for us at keyword World Talk Radio.
If you are a parent of a child with autism, you know that there can be day-to-day struggles emotionally. Now you can share insights and outlooks with the Mother Cub Show. Your host, Susan Lynn Perry, a parent of a child with autism, will bring a new perspective to the subject, from diagnosis to effective treatments that are working. Her guests will include professionals, authors, and individuals that will bring wonder and hope to the world of autism. Tune in to the Mother Cub Show, Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific, on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet? Why not? Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for the keywords World Talk Radio. Once you're part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and happenings at the World Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for World Talk Radio.
You're listening to the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Hello. Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show. Today, my guest is Amy Stein, physical therapist, and she was the founder and is a practitioner at Beyond Basics Physical Therapy. And we're talking about pelvic pain, what it means and what you can do to treat it. So could you please describe to our listening audience, what does it mean when somebody says they have pelvic pain?
Well, basically, it is a broad term. There are definitely many different things that could go on when you have pelvic pain, ranging from a person just having urethral pain to having pain all in the pelvic region to having IC-type pain or IBS-type pain. Mm-hmm. And then it could just be completely muscular, that they feel a spasming or they feel rectal pain. Where it becomes difficult to diagnose is when they have different pain symptoms, as well as the various symptoms that could go along with pelvic floor dysfunction, meaning urinary and or bowel frequency, urgency, pain, a spasming feeling. They could have burning feeling, which mimics a UTI or yeast infection. Men can have prostatitis-like symptoms, and it all could be musculoskeletal pain, which is why it makes it so confusing, because that one person could run to the urologist, the gynecologist, the gastroenterologist, the colorectal doctor, and they all say they can't find anything, and then it could end up being a musculoskeletal problem causing all these different syndromes. They could also have pain referred into the back, into the thigh, all the way down the leg. So it's definitely a very difficult and complex diagnosis to come to. As a physical therapist that specializes in pelvic pain, for us, we are trained specifically to look to see if that is the cause of the patient's problem.
Okay, and if a person like me has interstitial cystitis, you might have a real medical condition, but you can also get assistance from doing the physical therapy. Doesn't mean it's going to take away necessarily the disease, but it's going to help.
Right.
Potentially.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that's the same with endometriosis. It's the same with IBS and many other different diseases. We can help if there's a musculoskeletal component, which it is very common when you have IC, IBS, endometriosis, fibromyalgia. These are all different diagnoses that you also could have musculoskeletal disorder along with it. And that is what, as a physical therapist, we treat. And we've had many patients that have come in with IC and they finish the treatment and they don't have the IC symptoms anymore. And that's when it's very rewarding when that happens. It's obviously not everyone, but there are some patients that the symptoms mimic another disorder, but indeed all they have is a musculoskeletal dysfunction.
Mm-hmm. So I'm hopeful that the Interstitial Cystitis Association knows to refer people to you if people are looking for something in addition to what normal medical treatment can offer.
Yes, they do. I think even on their website, they have Find a Practitioner, and they have a list of physical therapists on there. And they do have a definition on there, which I think I helped edit, on physical therapy and IC, physical therapy and pregnancy. They have a good variety of different topics on there. There are other associations as well. If you want me to name them, I'd be happy to. That can, if you need someone, you can look up on their website to find someone to see if there's someone in your local area.
How about you give your email or your website and people can come to you to ask those specific questions? Can you give that to our listening audience, please?
Sure. Our website is beyondbasicsphysicaltherapy.com. So it's BEYOND. Okay. BASICS, physicaltherapy.com. And you could also call in and speak to one of the physical therapists as well. There are 7 wonderful physical therapists that I work with, and they all specialize and are wonderful at treating and evaluating pelvic floor dysfunction and pelvic pain.
Okay, and what number would they call to do that?
Our number is 212-354-2622.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, well, let's get back to talking about what causes this pelvic pain. What are some of the root causes of it?
That is also a very difficult question. Sometimes it's very straightforward. A patient, for instance, at this hip research that my colleague is doing, she had a patient that had a hip injury, and soon thereafter, she developed tailbone pain and pelvic pain. So it was pretty clear with that particular patient that she had a hip injury, and because the hip is so closely related to the pelvic floor, she ended up having tailbone pain, urinary frequency urgency, and sexual dysfunction. Then there's a case of a patient that has a gradual onset, maybe had a history of back pain, and all of a sudden they start to get pelvic floor symptoms. They start to get burning, urethral burning, rectal burning, because the muscles are spasming if there's a malalignment of the back. They could also have had surgery or a previous diagnosis of IC, endometriosis, IBS, what we mentioned before. They could have also had a urinary tract infection or yeast infection that just sparked everything, and their pelvic floor went haywire, or a hysterectomy, a prostatectomy. Any of these things are in the pelvic region, and they can all disrupt the pelvic floor and the nerves and the muscles in that region. So it can be a gradual onset, or it can be traumatic. And sometimes the patients do ask us, well, what is this from? What caused this? Sometimes we can answer, but sometimes we cannot.
Okay.
But the positive thing is, if it's a musculoskeletal problem, we know how to fix it. So that's the positive.
Okay. And do you diagnose somebody by looking at how they sit, how they walk, or do you do x-rays? How do you figure that out?
As physical therapists, we diagnose how they sit, how they walk. We assess the whole back region, the pelvic region, the lower extremity, possibly even the upper extremity. We refer out for x-rays and MRIs and different things. We have a group here in New York. Fortunately, we do have a group of doctors that we refer to. So if we're not sure what's going on in the urological system or the GI system, we will refer back to some of the doctors that refer to us, or if we get someone that finds us on the internet, we will definitely refer to an MD because we want clearance that there is not an organic problem going on. We're not going to just treat a patient hoping that it's just a musculoskeletal problem. We want to make sure that everything else has been ruled out, and then when we rule everything out, we will treat the musculoskeletal dysfunction.
Okay, and do you do like a checklist of symptoms to help you determine as well what's going on?
We do. Our evaluation is very thorough. We ask full history. We ask what the symptoms are, what provokes the symptoms, what alleviates the symptoms, where the pain exactly is, what it feels like, because muscle pain can feel different than nerve pain. Muscle pain can feel like an aching, pulling, tugging, and again, this is in the pelvic region, so it feels like you're getting pulling and tugging in your vagina or your genital region, in your so we get patients with testicular pain, tip of the penis pain. And then we also have patients that describe nerve pain, which is more of the burning, the sharp shooting pain. So there are definitely different areas that it can be caused from, coming from. So it's very important to do a very thorough evaluation. And according to the evaluation is what we do for treatment, depending on what we find in our evaluation. We also do a full musculoskeletal evaluation of the hips and the back and what I mentioned before, the upper and lower extremities.
Mm-hmm. And what was surprising to me was to find out that physical therapists, as you have discussed already, can do like a vaginal exam or rectal exam, and then they can measure like how strong your muscles are, how many contractions you can do, and they teach you exercises to do to strengthen those muscles. And I had no idea that physical therapists could do that.
Yep, it is in our practice act, the American Physical Therapy Association practice act, that we are permitted, since they are muscles, to do an evaluation and treatment. And we do evaluate the muscles manually with our hands or finger. We also do a biofeedback, which is one of the components of what we use to help the patient understand what's going on with the muscles. And with the biofeedback, you can attach sensors to a machine, or you can insert a sensor vaginally or rectally to see how the muscles are reacting to how you can strengthen the muscles, how you can relax the muscles. Although the biofeedback is only a very small portion of our evaluation and treatment. So if you are looking for a physical therapist, you want to make sure that they specialize in the manual therapy component as well as the biofeedback. If they just do biofeedback, they can't look at the whole picture. You can't feel with the biofeedback if the muscle's tight or spasm, or if the nerve is tight or and pulling, or if the SI joint, the sacroiliac joint, which is the joint at the bottom of the spine, if that joint is off causing some of these problems, biofeedback will not show that. So you need someone that does hands-on physical therapy work for pelvic floor dysfunction.
And is there a listing of professionals that are certified to do pelvic pain physical therapy?
There are a couple websites that do offer physical therapists. Some of them you can just put in your zip code and they will show if a physical therapist specializes in pelvic floor dysfunction. There are a couple websites like the ICA, the NVA, which is the National Vulvodynia Association, pelvicpain.org, which is the association that I belong to, the International Pelvic Pain Society, Herman and Wallace as well, and the APTA. They all have providers and practitioners, and that you can try to find one in your area to help evaluate and treat. Some do more extensive evaluations and treat than others. So you do have to make sure that they've had quite a bit of training in the area and that they do manual evaluation and treatment as well.
We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about the specifics of how you treat this. Thank you.
Are we still on?
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite World Talk Radio show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
Follow the World Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at World Talk Radio. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the World Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/World Talk Radio or follow along with us at World Talk Radio, the World Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
Can you think of anybody who does not want a better life and to be a better person? Think about that for a second. Almost everyone wants to be better, but how does one go about doing that? One thing that is making people better every week is tuning in to the Self-Improvement Show with Dr. Irene Conlon. All real change comes from within, but many of us don't know where to find the information or guidance we need to make the changes that bring about the improvement. Most of us don't know how to work within. Listen Thursdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on World Talk Radio Variety. The World Talk Radio Variety Channel. World Talk Radio presents a new kind of health awareness talk show, the Sharon Kleina Hour, Health, Environment, and the Power of Water. Show host Sharon Kleina interviews leading scientists to discover how each of us can become proactive in protecting our personal health environment in an increasingly unhealthy world. Every show offers new information that could save your life. The Sharon Kleina Hour is health from an environmental perspective, your ultimate source for a personal environmental lifestyle. Mondays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite World Talk Radio show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
Are you looking for tips, tricks, secrets, and techniques that you can use anywhere, anytime, on virtually any problem? Tune in to Magic at Your Fingertips with EFT virtuoso Teresa Bolin. You are a divine manifestation of love and light. Take back control of your life and create the life that you want using EFT, Emotional Freedom Techniques. You'll overcome the obstacles that stand in the way of living your heart's desire. Magic at Your Fingertips airs live at 6 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time, 9 a.m. Eastern, and 10 p.m. in Japan on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel. The World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show. I'm glad you're tuning in today, and I want you to especially thank our engineer, Chad, who, when we lost Skype sometimes, he gets us right back online, and thanks also to my executive producer, Mark Pace, who keeps me on task. So today, we're talking about pelvic pain, something that many people can relate to, unfortunately. Before break, we were talking about some websites you can go to find out where you can get a physical therapist in your area. You can go to Amy Stein's website, which is beyondbasicsphysicaltherapy.com, and find out information from them, and she can assist you in that process of finding somebody in your area, or perhaps telling you if the person you're selecting is somebody that's part of the association. So back to Amy now. Let's talk some about people like me, like most of the world, who have to sit for their job. And what does that do to the pelvic floor muscles and to those who have pelvic pain?
Basically, sitting decreases the blood flow to the area. It can also compress muscles and nerves and irritate nerves through the compression. So some people with pelvic pain are affected by sitting. Some people are not. How we help the patient manage that is what you said in the very beginning about getting up frequently. If you know that after 30 minutes of sitting, your pain comes on, don't sit for the 30 minutes. Try to stand up before the pain comes on and then walk around a little bit, get the blood flowing back to the area, and then you can sit back down. Some patients change positions, which is also very helpful. They may stand for part of the, stand for a couple minutes and sit back down. As well, there are certain cushions, but it's fairly individual what can help or may not help. Typically, sitting on hard surfaces is worse because they're hard and the blood flow is not getting to the area as well. So a softer, more gel-like seat is preferable, or some of the aero seats, the ones that have the mesh, those are also more helpful because they help distribute the weight better.
Okay. And that'd
so
be true for bicycle riders as well.
One
correct?
Of the big things is not increasing your pain. If you know that something specific increases your pain, like sitting, try to do things to help with that by standing up frequently or standing at your desk for a little bit of time and then sitting back down. It is easier said than done. What we typically tell our patients is, yes, you may have to do this quite a bit in the beginning, but as you go through your treatment and through your home exercise program, you will be able to sit longer. The half hour will turn into 45 minutes. The 45 minutes will turn into an hour. But it is so important to get proper care and really to follow the guidelines of your treating provider.
And for people like me who went untreated for so long thinking that there wasn't anything that could be done, it affected my concentration, it affected my sleep. So what are the consequences if you don't get this treated? What can happen?
Just as you said, it affected your concentration, it affected your sleep, it can increase anxiety, it can definitely affect multiple different areas, and the quicker we see these patients that have this pelvic pain, or I see patients that have pelvic pain, the better the result. So we try to instill that in our referring physicians that if you send them, even if you just send them to be evaluated to see if we can help, the quicker you send the patients to us, typically the quicker and the better the results are. The longer you have the pain, as you mentioned earlier, Dr. Melanie, that your memory, your body has a memory, and it remembers the pain, and your muscles remember the spasming and the tightening. And when there's a fearful moment or stressful event, the muscles can go back into the spasm that we as physical therapists train the patients not to spasm, or we work on the muscles to elongate them to help them not to spasm. So it is important to treat the body as a whole.
It was explained to me when I started the physical therapy years ago that it's like a piano tuner. They tune the piano, you practice the way they set it up, but they have to come back in 6 weeks to fine-tune it to make sure that the change stays changed. And my chiropractor explained that to me as well, that you can't just start something new, do it a few times, and expect your body to keep doing it.
Right, exactly. So if we do have a patient that has had symptoms, their symptoms only for a couple months, typically those patients we don't have to see as long because their muscles sort of bounce back quicker because of the whole muscle memory. If patients have had the symptoms for a prolonged period of time, 10, even 20 years, it does take a longer time to re-educate the muscles. And the patient may be walking incorrectly because they're guarding and they're trying to protect their body from the pain, or they're very weak in the abdominal area. So they could have compensated in different ways, and it can take longer for that patient population to re-educate the muscles.
Mm-hmm. And also, I didn't realize how much pain I was in.
The longer you wait, the more the pain can spread. So that's another consequence that can happen if you don't treat the pain as soon as you realize what's going on, which is the difficult part.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, I didn't realize how much pain I was in until I got some relief. I just, you know, had learned to live with it, and then all of a sudden it wasn't as bad, and I'm thinking, "Oh, I have more energy. I'm sleeping better. This is interesting." So I'm just very grateful that there is a non-invasive kind of technique. Well, non-invasive doesn't disclude that, you know, the vaginal or rectal diagnosing, but I'm talking about no medication type of things to get this to work. So,
right. We work on the pelvic floor muscles just the same as we work on the back and the neck muscles, and that's how we explain it to the patients, because the patients look at us and they're like, What? I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll
mm-hmm.
say to them, just like you have neck pain and a spasm in your neck, in your shoulder muscle, in your neck muscle, you are having pelvic pain and a spasm or a tightening in the pelvic region, and it's causing this vaginal pain, rectal pain, urethral pain. A lot of women complain of pain at the opening of the vagina, and that can be from... that could be muscular, or that could be an increased irritation of the nerves in that region, and it may be hopefully as easy as working on the muscles and the tissues and trying to relax the muscles so that they're not tightening and spasming, which is what, again, can happen in the neck muscles. But when you think of neck pain, you don't think of it in the same way, because the pelvic region is such a sensitive and more intimate area. So that is why I love talking about this, because I wish it weren't so sensitive and intimate, and I wish all the gynecologists asked their patients if they're having pain with intercourse, because I bet the research thinks that if more gynecologists asked about it and more urologists asked about it, we'd find that there are increased number of patients and people out there that are actually suffering from pelvic pain and sexual dysfunction, bladder and bowel dysfunction.
Mm-hmm. And I know the ICA did research, and years ago they said 83% of people who are diagnosed with interstitial cystitis would have difficulty in their sexual relations. And that's awful and high.
That sounds about right.
Uh-huh.
They say 1 in 4 women, JAMA, Journal of American Medical Association, research that 1 in 4 women at some point in their life suffer from pelvic floor dysfunction. Mm. 16% of men, male office visits are for chronic prostatitis, and 95% of those patients actually have pelvic floor dysfunction. Only 5% of the prostatitis patients have acute prostatitis where they need a medication. 95% of them commonly have actual pelvic floor dysfunction and muscle tightening and spasming.
Mm-hmm. So sounds like physical therapists that are trained to do what you do need to be in a urologist office, or at least, you know, go do some training with urologists to tell them this could make their job easier and to help their patients.
Right. We try. We've done a lot of in services and grand rounds in the New York area. The International Pelvic Pain Society has a conference every year to continue to educate practitioners on pelvic pain and the various diagnoses and treatments that are out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's say that somebody's been diagnosed and they come to see you, and they know that they have this pelvic floor dysfunction. So what are the treatment options? What kind of things can you do?
So as I mentioned earlier, as physical therapists, we do look at the body as a whole. We treat the musculoskeletal dysfunctions that we find. There could be muscle imbalances. There could be tight muscles more on one side than another. The spine or the sacroiliac joint, which again is the joint at the bottom of the spine, can be malaligned, causing irritation to some of the nerves that travel into the pelvic floor region, which those nerves help with bladder, bowel, and sexual function. Mm-hmm. So that's where it can become confusing, because it could, again, just be a muscle and nerve issue. So we will look at the body and see where the impairments are. We will do manual therapy on the tight muscles and trigger points, whether it's externally, typically, as well as internally. We'll do exercises specific to each patient, because not any patient, no patient is the same. Everyone is different. Everyone has slightly different postures and different symptoms. So you have to treat the patient as an individual and develop a specific program for them. So the exercise that we may give one person, we may not give to another person, which is why it was actually really difficult to write my book, because mm-hmm. no one is the same, and there's no clear cut picture for one person. So when they told me to pick 10 stretches to put in my book, it was very difficult, because there were more than 10, and everyone is so different that it's hard to just diagnose in a book what could be the problem. As well, we'll do it's called neuromuscular reeducation, and we'll teach the patient how to reeducate the pelvic floor muscles, possibly the abdominal muscles. They're using them too much, or they're not using them enough. The back muscles.
Let me interrupt right now for a second. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about the specifics of how you treat this. Thank you.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take World Talk Radio on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
We all lead busy lives, and sometimes we think we can't take care of our health. We battle food addictions, time restrictions, and media conflictions when it comes to our health. Now, you can tune in to the Dare to Be Healthy show with host Alia Almoayed. Good health comes to those who dare to take the leap into the amazing world of natural healing. Find out what it's like to look and feel great, and finally live your life to its maximum potential. Let Alia and her guests show you how. Dare to Be Healthy is broadcast live Mondays at 11 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
Follow the World Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at World Talk Radio. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the World Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/World Talk Radio or follow along with us at World Talk Radio, the World Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
Listen.
The world is talking. The World Talk Radio Variety Channel.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-613-1612. That's 1-866-613-1612. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Hello, welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show. Today we're talking about physical therapy for pelvic pain. My guest host is Amy Stein. If you'd like to talk to her, you can go to her website, which is beyondbasicsphysicaltherapy.com. If you go to my show page and also my website, which is the Dr. Melanie Show, the website, you'll see a link there to the ICA. So if you have interstitial cystitis and pelvic pain, that's a place you can get some resources. And so that will be helpful to you. So we were talking before the break about the different kinds of treatments that are offered. And because you said it's individualized, we'll leave that area and go on and talk about, give us a case history of a success story, if you can, please.
Sure. Fortunately, there are a lot of wonderful stories. And actually, in the back of my book, there are 15 or 20 testimonials, as well as on our website, there are a bunch of testimonials, and we can keep adding more and more. So that's the wonderful thing. One of my more warming stories is of a patient that I had from long ago, and she may be listening right now. She came to me. She was one of my first patients, and she had such severe pain and originally diagnosed with IC as well as pelvic pain. She found a urologist, fortunately, in New York, because she had been to 7 or 8 or 9 doctors. She finally found a urologist that said, you may have IC, but you also have severe pelvic floor dysfunction, and you need to go see a physical therapist. Mm. She was out of work. She couldn't work because of the pain. She was young, I think at the time, if I remember correctly, around 26 or 27, and she also wanted to have children, and she couldn't even have sexual intercourse because of the pain. So she had bladder pain and sexual pain, as well as back pain that was so debilitating. She was a teacher, and she couldn't work anymore, and she couldn't have children. We worked very hard for quite some time. She was, when I saw her, she was on a lot of medication, and they had done procedures and different, I think they did one surgery on her. And when she came to me, she was on a lot of medication, and you know, if you want to have children, you can't be on so much medication. So we did work for some time because she had had her symptoms for quite a while. We got her off all the medication, and happy to say now she has 2 beautiful children, and she is, I think, still pain-free. So
that's wonderful.
That is a wonderful story, and I have many of those, and that's why I do what I do, because it's very rewarding to help these patients and this patient population. She, like many of the other patients, felt helpless, hopeless, and as soon as she got the proper care, which is, all the research, by the way, is fairly new on physical therapy and the effects of it on pelvic pain. But she was one of the wonderful success stories that I have.
That's tremendous. I know you're gratified by that. And you yourself have children, correct?
I do.
And did you, you know, the carpenter's house doesn't get done and the cobbler's kids go without shoes. Were you able to practice yourself what you preach to have it help you?
Yeah, I tried. I have to say, with 2 children and a very busy physical therapy practice, I tried to practice what I preach. I try to take care of myself, and everything that I teach my patients, I tried to do myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it is, I see where the mothers, you know, 5 years ago, I have a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old, and 5 years ago, I didn't quite understand what they meant, that they couldn't come in for treatment because they were so busy at home, and now I understand.
Yes, that's quite stressful, having a 2-year-old and 1-year-old.
Yes. They're wonderful, and it's wonderful, but it is the balance of my work passion and my family passion is definitely something that it is very challenging, because I love both.
Well, I'm glad that you do and that you have been able to share it with us. Can you describe over the radio waves that breathing exercise, the first one that's in your book about how people can breathe differently, properly?
That it's basically diaphragmatic breathing, and it's slowly inhaling through the nose and expanding your ribs outward, letting your belly expand as you inhale, waiting a second and then slowly exhaling. And what I add to the patients that have pelvic pain is the relaxation of the pelvic floor muscles. So learning to relax the muscles, learning to drop the muscles. When you're in pain, you tend to guard or tense or tight muscles, whether it's in the back, the neck, or the pelvic floor. So one of the first exercises that I give all my patients with pelvic pain is learning to do the diaphragmatic breathing as well as learning to relax the pelvic floor muscles and going about their daily routine doing the same thing, because they walk around with the pelvic floor muscles tightened and up in their nose because of the pain and because of the fear, and learning to relax them. And it can take some time for many people, depending on how long you've had it, how severe your symptoms are. That's where physical therapy really comes in to help, because we can guide the patients on what to do at home, what to do in physical therapy, and on these exercises.
Okay. The book that you wrote is Heal Pelvic Pain, and where can people get it?
Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Borders.com, any of the above. I do have a website, healpelvicpain.com, but on there it will lead you right to Amazon and Barnes and Noble, Borders. And some bookstores do carry it, but not all.
Okay. Well, if people want to reach you again, they can go to www.beyondbasicsphysicaltherapy.com, or they can call 212-354-2622. And I would encourage people to please go to my show page to look at upcoming events, and you can look at any of the archive programs so that you can share them with your friends. You can download them to iTunes or to your MP3 player. And I appreciate very much, Amy, that you've been my guest host today. And I'd like to ask, would you be willing to come back again?
I would love to, because this is a topic that needs to be discussed. And I want to say one last thing. There is hope. There is help. You just need to find the right practitioner, and you need to really listen to what the practitioner tells you and use their guidance to help with your pain and any dysfunction that you have.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Amy. And tune in next week when my guest will be Dr. Jay Joshi talking about pain management. Have a good day now.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, on the World Talk Radio Variety Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the World Talk Radio Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit worldtalkradio.com. The World Talk Radio Network, where the world comes to talk. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the World Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.